Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Talking Points memo is more bad news for the American media. So the Associated Press, in association with the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Organization, has put out a study. It's an interesting study. I'm going to give you the highlights. Three quarters of American adults say the news media is increasing political polarization. Okay? Just under a half of American adults say they have no trust in the media's ability to report the news fairly and accurately. 4 in 10 say the press is hurting American democracy. Now, those are pretty strong numbers from an organization that is not conservative, to say the least. A third of American adults say they see stories with false claims from politicians or misleading headlines every day. 6 in 10 say the news media bears blame for the spread of misinformation. Okay, so these numbers are true, in my opinion, based upon my expertise and analysis of the country. And the reason is that corporations now have taken over the television news industry. They were always in charge from the time television was founded, Edward R. Murrow. All right, the corporations were always in charge. But there was a firewall between the actual journalism and the corporate offices, all right? They weren't supposed to intrude, the profit makers, but that has broken down 100%. And now the so-called journalists who work for corporations in many cases are told what to do. And a lot of people think, well, it's all based on ideology. It's not. Most of it's based on profit, and we saw that with the Fox News Dominion lawsuit, that Fox was worried if it told its core audience that there wasn't proof that their election was a fraud, that audience would go over to Newsmax, which was pretty much saying that it was a fraud. And so Fox decided to go along with that and got into all kinds of trouble, and the unintended consequences are going to ripple out for the next year or two. This is not over. Now, let me give you two very clear examples of how the corporation intrudes on the media's honesty. The first on the left is climate change. All right. So people believe what they want to believe. And now every storm that occurs in the United States is because of climate change. Every snow, every rain, every wind, every tornado, every hurricane, it's all climate change. The left buys into that. And the president of the United States, the first thing he did when he took office was attack the fossil fuel industry. You'll all remember that. And he's passed, from our calculation, almost $400 billion in spending on fighting climate change. The unintended consequence of that was a spur of inflation. You saw inflation whip up as the gas prices went crazy because the future market in the oil industry went up, and because President Biden was attacking it with regulations and everything else. That's on the left, and that has influenced and affected every single American that does anything. On the right, you have election fraud and January 6th. Again, people believe what they want to believe, and many Trump voters did not want to believe that he lost the election to Joe Biden. It was a close election. Four states, and the vote margins in those states were tiny, infinitesimal even. So many of the Trump voters refused to accept the electoral count as legitimate. That's where the Dominion voting machines came in. Okay. The second one is January 6th. And this is where Tucker Carlson got into trouble. So people believe what they want to believe, and some on the right raised the specter of a false flag operation that was driven by the FBI or whoever. They caused the intrusion, the riot at the Capitol. And, you know, Ray Epps and on and on and on and on. So when you back or put yourself out to a theory, and there's nothing, by the way, wrong with believing the election was a fraud. If that's your opinion, that's your opinion. But you can't say it's fact. The false flag operation on January 6th, that's even shakier, because there really isn't anything that indicates that. On the left, Biden's $400 billion in spending, what has that reaped? Chaos in Texas. The wind couldn't keep up. And again, driving the traditional fuels to a point that punishes Americans. Now, all of this should have been reported accurately by the media, and it was not. It wasn't. Russian collusion wasn't reported accurately. It's what the management is telling you to do for profits. MSNBC could not exist if it covered the news in a fair way, because its audience is 95% liberal. Fox News' audience is 95% conservative. When I was there, it was 50% conservative just 6 years ago. 50% conservative when I was in a chair at 8 o'clock. Now it's 95%. Big money to be made in those precincts. Okay. Is there any solution to this? No. The First Amendment covers expression, freedom of expression. Corporations are just going to say, look, we have the right to sue whatever we want. Now, if you want to sue us, go ahead. And Dominion did and won $800 million. You can get them, the charlatans in the media, but the government can't stop it. You can stop it by not watching. And we'll have a little bit more on that later. So summing up, this AP Kennedy Center study, I believe, is accurate. I do believe the media is now hurting democracy in this country. And that's why we're here. Because we don't do any of that. And that's the memo. Now, ABC News, let me give you an example. Both Chris Cuomo is coming up and I work for ABC News. So they censored an interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's an anti-vax guy. Okay. So ABC knew that RFK Jr. was going to come in and whack the vaccines and link it to autism. They knew that was going to happen. And they signed a woman named Lindsay Davis to interview RFK. And it's exactly what RFK did, okay? He went wild on the vaccine, and it's this and it's that. And ABC cut it out. Instead of Lindsay Davis doing her job by saying, look, here are the facts that I've compiled, and you're full of bull, like I do, just call Barney Frank, okay? They cut it. Now, ABC News says that they did it because he made false claims. You knew he was going to make false claims. Let the audience decide if you're going to put a person on who's made claims that are dubious. Let the audience decide. Have your reporter challenge the person. Don't just cut it out. LA Times last week. This is a huge scandal. All right, their White House correspondent, Courtney Sobremenia, or something like that, apparently told the Biden administration what she was going to ask the president. And they said, okay, Courtney, you get the first question. How do we know that? Because Biden had her question in his hand. A photographer shot at the president with a picture of Courtney and the question. And are you kidding me? So the LA Times, our reporter did not submit any questions in advance. You know, the LA Times it's not worth your time. Okay, let's just be kind. Courtney herself has said nothing. But this is an unbelievable example of media irresponsibility. Hunter Biden. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here. And my next guest knows everything about it. So hang tough. So the House Oversight Committee, that's Comer, okay? They are demanding documents about Hunter Biden's finances, all right? And Hunter Biden's attorneys aren't handing them over. As simple as that. So what's going to happen? I don't know. Contempt of Congress? I don't know. Bannon went to jail. Steve Bannon. Will Hunter? I don't know. In addition to that, there is a child payment situation, child support in Arkansas. Now, this is ongoing right now. So apparently Hunter Biden had an affair with a woman who worked in a strip club named London Roberts, 32 years old. There she is. And out of that affair came a baby, Navy Joan Roberts, who's now 4 years old. All right? And I feel so sorry for this child. Anyway, Ms. Roberts wants more money out of Hunter Biden. Biden says he paid her an enormous amount of money already, $20,000 in monthly child support and $750,000 overall for the child's welfare. That's what Hunter Biden's people say, lawyers say. You got to present both sides here. That's what I'm doing. However, the judge now wants, under oath, all of Hunter Biden's financial records, where he made his money, what he's got, how much he's this, how much is that. That is a real threat to Hunter Biden.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. So joining us now is a man who knows more about this, in my humble opinion, than anybody in the country. He's a reporter. He's not some pinhead pundit like me, right? His name is John Solomon. You know him. All right, he's the editor-in-chief of Just the News, which pretty much does what I do here on the internet. Always all over the place. He's got a new book out. We'll get to that. But give us the latest on Hunter Biden.
Yeah, I think, Bill, you really analyzed that Arkansas situation very well, because the Biden camp is very worried about having to turn over records, not only what he's made on those paintings that he's been doing the last couple of years, but the judge specified any gifts you've been getting. If you've been freeloading off of people, you're going to have to tell me what income you're getting, where it's coming from. That is a suspicion that a lot of House Republicans have had for a while, that maybe Hunter Biden's been living off other people with gratuity and grifts. That will be a very important moment in the case to see what his full income looks like and how much of it is political or gifting to the first son. It's going to open up a whole new area of the Hunter Biden drama for us to see. And when it's in court, it comes, as you said, under penalty of perjury. That's going to be a problem. They can't skate on this one. They got to be very, very careful. Now, while that's going on, you've got in Congress here multiple efforts to now force into the public realm documents that were kept from us in 2018, 19, 20, when we were deprived of making an informed decision in the 2020 election, because we told the Hunter Biden scandal was, well, a conspiracy theory, or worse yet, a Russian disinformation operation. Multiple people, including Hunter Biden himself, being asked to give up documents. Eric Schwerwin, a man who handled Hunter Biden's taxes and warned him he hadn't been paying taxes on his Burisma Ukraine payments. Remember, that was at the heart of the impeachment a couple of years ago. And then Anthony Blinken himself, now facing multiple requests from documents. First, in his role in circulating that letter, or prompting that letter, encouraging that letter to be sent, that falsely claimed that the laptop in 2020 was Russian disinformation. And now a shocking revelation from Senators Johnson and Grassley that Blinken may have lied to Congress back in 2020 when he said, I didn't have any contacts with Hunter Biden. We never talked business. The two senators say they now have reason to believe that Hunter Biden was communicating with Blinken through Blinken's wife, who is an official in the State Department. They now ask for all documents of those communications. A cabinet secretary is now on the hot seat in multiple instances with Tony Blinken.
All right, let me stop you there. There's a whole bunch of stuff you said. Now I'm going to ask my usual simple questions. In Arkansas, how far back does Hunter Biden have to produce his financial portfolio? Does he have to go all the way back to when his father was vice president and he was being paid by Chinese, Russian, and Ukraine companies? Does he have to go that far back?
He does not. This will be a much more contemporaneous period of time, really, since the time his father was president and this child was born and seeking child support.
So that clears that up. Now we go to the House. Blinken, at the time he allegedly was dealing with Hunter Biden, was not Secretary of State, correct?
That's right.
What was Blinken doing?
He was a key advisor to the Biden campaign. So he was a security advisor.
Working for
the
campaign.
So he had every right to orchestrate the letter. Yeah, he had every right to orchestrate the letter.
Yeah, he was trying to get that out of the voters' mind. So Blinken allegedly put together this phony letter and then strong-armed the 50 people to sign it. He didn't even have to strong-arm most of them. They hated Trump, so they would sign it at will. Okay, so now going forward, you're going to get a little window into Hunter Biden's lifestyle from the Arkansas thing, but you're not going to get the big one, which is how much money he derived while his father was vice president from these foreign companies, and whether Hunter Biden gave money or assets of any kind to his father, the vice president, in return for his father helping facilitate these deals. We're not going to get that right now. But that's right. The end game, is it not?
It is. You've always put that bullseye on that target. That is the thing that will matter more to anyone in the American public than anything else. Now, if Joe Biden lied to us about different aspects of the campaign, that's going to become a 2024 issue, honesty. But did the big guy benefit directly, indirectly, and did he direct some of the business decisions or assist the business decisions? That's the bullseye that James Comer has to cover and give us an answer to.
Okay. That's going to take a while.
That's right.
And we had Kevin McCarthy on the No Spin News recently, and I asked him about it. I said, look, you know, are you monitoring the Oversight Committee, and where are they in the process? And McCarthy said, they're building a case, but, you know, Americans want it now. They want it tomorrow. Yeah. They want to know. And it's going to be, has to be clarified by the vote. You know, the Democrats are going to stand by Biden no matter what. They're not dumping Biden.
That's right.
Unless, you know, it gets so bad in the economy. That's the only thing they would dump him for, not this. All right.
Right.
You wrote a book. It's a cute book. A Seymour Clues mystery called Hidden Headlines. Seymour Clues is a detective, and he has a sidekick named Mr. Mouse. So I assume that these are not woke detectives. They're not woke.
They're not. They're not at all. They're lovable characters that you might find at your in your home or in your pet store. My son's hamster actually makes a cameo. He's the newspaper editor in this story. Chunk the hamster. My son has a hamster named Chunk. He actually is trying to get his newspaper out to the hamster community, and the tubes in the hamster community are clogged. And it's a story about censorship brought down to children's level. Lovable characters, beautiful illustrations from the great folks at Brave Books. But an important message. I learned a couple of years ago, Bill, as my stories and other stories like Miranda Devine's and others were being censored, there's two generations of young adults in America that weren't given the civics lessons of the Bill of Rights and why the First Amendment was first, why free speech was so important. Their educators deprived them of that. I didn't want a third generation to go that route. So we wrote a book that lets moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, and uncles share with their children that the First Amendment's important, but do it in the most delightful way. These are really fun characters and really great pictures in the book.
All right,
I love
so the it's an entertainment for kids, but it has a historical context that is very. Give me the age range for kids for Hidden Headlines.
5 to 11 is that perfect sweet spot. You can get it at bravebooks.us. Real simple to get.
Okay, say that again slower, John. I'm giving you a big plug here. Where can you get
it? Bravebooks.us. You can get my book free this month if you subscribe to their monthly book, or you can buy it a la carte. But a great group of people at Brave Books, they're filling the void in woke education with pro-America, pro-God books.
All right, so Brave Book, again, Brave Book.
Brave Books, plural, .us. Bravebooks.us.
Yeah. There you go. All right, John, keep us posted, please.
Thanks,
Hunter Biden story is an important story for everybody to follow. And here's something I did not know. George Pataki, name ring a bell? He was the governor of New York State, Republican, from 1995 to 2006, the last Republican governor here. And he has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize due to his humanitarian relief efforts in Ukraine. The governor joins us now from New York City. Are you being shy about this? I went to a dinner with you 10 days ago, and that's the first time I ever heard about this. Did it get any coverage?
No, not really. But I've never been any good at self-publicity. You do things because you think they're right. And that's what we've been doing in Ukraine. So it hasn't gotten any attention, but I'm fine with that. We just want to continue the mission to help the civilians, to help with humanitarian aid in Ukraine.
Okay. Number one, I know you're a modest man and you're not a self-promoter, but in this case, next time, call me, because I am a self-promoter and I'm not modest. I'll do it. Because
it's a deal.
A Nobel,
I'll call you next time, Bill.
Yeah, call me. A Nobel Peace Prize is the top of the chart. And when I heard that at the table with you, I went, what? And I think that people should understand this. So tell me exactly what you have done in Ukraine.
Well, you know, literally within 3 or 4 days of the war, I went there and I took a few people from the Pataki Center because we wanted to help. We wanted to provide some humanitarian aid. And we took in food and medicine and some clothing. And when we got to Ukraine, we saw just this enormous need and nobody was filling it. And I don't have a giant foundation like the Ford Foundation or some of the others. But what we did is talk to government officials, talk to civilians. What do you need? And the list was endless. So since that time, our little group has made 10 trips throughout Ukraine. We brought in everything from temporary housing units to generators. Literally, we provided hundreds of generators for the winter when the power was destroyed by the Russians. And we provided heaters, over 400 heaters, to heat over 400,000 people. So we're just trying to help meet the humanitarian need. We're waiting for the government's promised aid to get there. We haven't seen it yet.
So the Biden administration promised humanitarian aid, but it hasn't gotten to the Ukrainian people yet, as you're saying.
We have not seen it in Ukraine in any significant amount at all. You know, they
Congress did
billions.
A lot of the money. Congress had a lot yes. of the money. So it's just
that's right.
Slow Joe hasn't gotten it there. Now, a lot of Americans are very concerned about this unending flow of taxpayer money, both military and humanitarian, into this country, that it will never end. There'll be another Afghanistan. They're going to fight forever. Putin's not going to give up. Zelensky's not going to give up. How do you see that aspect of it?
Well, I understand that we don't want to continue to open-end fund a war or provide humanitarian aid without the accountability. But, Bill, I see it very clearly. This is good against evil. This is Russia and Putin invading a democratic pro-Western country with no pretense at all. They're not even trying to hide it. And you look at their allies, Iran, China, North Korea. These are the people helping the Russians. And if that doesn't let you know whose side we should be on, then shame on you. So I don't think this will go on forever. It's unsustainable, to use a word of the left. I hope that the Ukrainian counteroffensive is enormously successful, but the war has got to stop. But in the meantime, the humanitarian need is just growing. So we're going to keep trying to do what we can.
Okay. Do you have any worries that Zelensky's crew is corrupt, that they may siphon off humanitarian aid? I mean, those charges have been lodged. Do you have any worries about that?
Sure, I do. You know, and I think anybody who's sensible has to understand, when you're talking literally tens of billions of dollars, you have to have accountability and make sure that the funds are going where they're supposed to be going. And that's one of the things we've been talking with the Ukrainian government about, to make sure that that's the case. You know, we have seen, from my standpoint, no signs of that at all, no signs of corruption, but I'm not sufficiently naive to know that it's impossible. So one of the things I've been arguing for with both the American government and the Ukrainian government is to have an inspector general system to make sure there's an accounting as to where those funds go. I think the American people are entitled to that. I think the Ukrainians would be fine with that. And then it would take away some of those questions, but the need is real.
And no doubt about it.
The Ukrainians are doing a great deal is real.
Now, how can people help you and your foundation?
You know, it's everybody calls it a foundation. We don't have a lot of money. We're really just a center, the GeorgePatakiCenter.com. And just donations online or to our Ukraine Relief Fund. We're 100% volunteer organization. Nobody gets paid. Whatever we raise goes directly to humanitarian aid in Ukraine, except for travel and security expenses. So we're going to continue to fight the fight. And Bill, I just want to say one last thing. You're not too tough on Biden. You know, if I were answering what you were saying earlier in the show, by no means are you too tough on Biden. I think he's the worst president of my lifetime. Keep it up. We
All
need
right.
the American
well, we,
people to realize
that we do. Now let's switch to politics in New York State. You were the last Republican governor. I was at WCBS TV while you were rising. It was a moderate state back then, always the city tilted left, but the regular New York state was a kind of a moderate, and you were reelected and served more than two terms. What has happened to New York? It's now, next to California and Illinois, the most leftist state in the union. What happened?
Well, I think a lot of things happened. One is that, first of all, we're number one in the country. Maybe California's passed us in losing people, people moving to other states, moving to Texas, moving to Florida. And it's not somebody, you know, who's working for Soros's NGO. It's people who are working for a living or retired who would tend to vote Republican or more moderate. So we've lost a ton of our voters who have just moved out of the state. The second thing, I think, is just the collapse of the party system. You know, we used to have a vigorous Republican Party, and we haven't had that for a while. And that's one of the things that I'd like to see happen is the state is failing. The city is failing because it's a one-party system.
But how did it get to be a one-party system? The voters have turned left. Even in, Zeldin almost beat Hochul and would have, if not for New York City African-Americans, voting 90% for Hochul, even though they see bodies in the street in those neighborhoods every day. Did the people of New York change their point of view about politics?
The people of New York are more centrist than conservative. When I ran for office the first time, there were more conservatives than liberals in the state because we polled that. And you look at it now, and it's not as far left as you would think from the political results. It is still as many people identify as a conservative in this state as they do as a liberal. The problem is that we have no access, we have no funds, we have no media, with the exception of places like you, and we haven't done the proper outreach. I'm an optimist. I think we have enormous opportunity in New York State as Republicans with the Latino community. You know, they are the ones who are suffering from bad schools, unsafe streets, subways that don't work, jobs that move out of the state, but we haven't done the aggressive outreach we need to do. You know, and if we did that, we don't have to change philosophy. We don't have to change our policies. We just have to show that we care and that our policies are right for them, and what the Democrats are doing to them are hurting their future and their children's future. So the opportunity is still there for Republicans. We just have to make the case and fight the fight. And I'm going to help us to do that.
All right, Governor. We appreciate it. When is the Nobel people, when are they going to announce who wins?
Oh, I don't know. You know,
you don't even know that?
But I don't even know. I know we're going back to Ukraine again this month.
That's good.
But I honestly don't know.
If it were me, I'd be camping out in Norway. I mean, I'd be like, hey, Nobel Peace Prize right here. Congratulations. Look, it doesn't matter if you win. It really doesn't matter. Just the fact that you're nominated and the people around the world understand what you're doing. I hope my listeners and viewers do help out the George Pataki Group. Give me the internet address again for that.
GeorgePatakiCenter.com. Ukraine Relief Fund.
Very good.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Governor.
Very
nice
much
to see you.
Appreciate
it.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Trump on CNN next Wednesday told you this. We reported this. And I was on News Nation last night. I hope you check those out. They're pretty lively debates, I have to say, with Chris Cuomo. And the subject came up. Roll the tape.
Trump going to CNN. Do you think it is wrong for CNN to have him on?
Why? Why would it be wrong? Okay, so ridiculous. He's running for president. He's ahead in all the Republican polls. Why wouldn't you have him on? Come on, this is insane. It's a smart move for CNN because they are so marginalized there. After you left, everybody just gave up Cuomo. They said, if Cuomo's not here, we're not going to bother. Now they're trying to come back, okay? So this will get them a lot of attention. Okay, the left-wing zombies who usually watch, all seven of them, will be overwhelmed by people who would want to see a town hall moderated by a professional journalist. Caitlin Collins, right? That's her name? Caitlin Collins? She's professional, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why not do it? But the totalitarians on the left, oh, no! You can't put the leading candidate in the Republican Party on television. Oh, no, you can't do that. So CNN is smart to do it.
And as we reported yesterday, another reason that Trump is doing this, and it'll be on, May 10th, that's next Wednesday, on CNN, and St. Anselm College, New Hampshire, 9 o'clock. They still haven't said whether it's going to be an hour and a half. The other reason that Trump's doing it is to stick it to Fox News Channel, okay? Because Fox News Channel, the ownership, is endorsing DeSantis. And Trump said, look, what are you doing? I mean, I helped you, blah, blah, blah. Trump's mad and all of that. So that's what is going on there. We have a poll on BillO'Reilly.com. More than 5,000 of you voted. Thank you very much. Very simple poll. Will you continue to watch Fox News following the Tucker Carlson exit? Yes, it doesn't matter. 40%. No, I'm done. 60%. As everybody knows at this point, Fox News ratings across the board have fallen dramatically in the past 10 days. Sales at Anheuser-Busch for Bud Light have fallen dramatically because of this Dylan Mulvaney controversy. So she's a trans person, and Anheuser-Busch hired her to market Bud Light, and a lot of people don't like that. And so Bud Light's taking it. So now Bud Light announces to its distributors and that they're going to give everybody a free case of Bud Light. This is like a bribe. A free case of Bud Light, that's what you're going to do? And they're going to have a better marketing, and there's misconceptions. So the CEO trying to cover his butt, a guy named Michael Dukakis, says this was a result of one camp was not made for production or sale to the general public. Oh, what a bunch of garbage. So they're in trouble. But even more trouble is the U.S. Navy. This is incredible, and I postponed reporting it because I wanted to make sure it was true, and it is true. So the guy in charge of the Navy is Admiral Mike Gilday. He's been there for 4 years, all right? So Admiral Gilday is having trouble recruiting people to go into the Navy. So the Village People song in the Navy is not cutting it anymore. So what the Navy decides to do is use Second Class Joshua Kelly as a recruitment tool. Who is that? Well, Joshua Kelly is a drag show queen who uses the name Harpy Daniels. So he's one of five digital ambassadors for the Navy to try to recruit people as a drag queen. This is not good. She and Putin and the mullahs in Iran are seeing this, that the United States can't get enough people to sign up for the Navy, so they have to use a drag queen to try to do this. It's unbelievably stupid, and I will predict that Admiral Gilday will not be in that position as head of the Navy much longer. Now, the Biden administration will save him, but if there's any change in the presidency, I can't even imagine it. We have a woke armed forces now. And again, Xi and Putin, okay. That's what they're doing over there. Smart life. This is a study out of UK, but I think it applies here. 2,000 adults say the average adult has not spoken to their neighbors in 3 weeks. However, there is an epidemic of criticizing neighbors on social media, like bullying neighbors. Okay, why is this in the smart life category? Number one, you don't have to talk to your neighbors. I mean, maybe you don't have anything in common with them. You just wave, you know, hi, how are you? Fine, that's not a problem. But attacking your neighbors using the internet is foolish. It leads to negative results. Maybe your neighbor is a nut. Maybe your neighbor will try to hurt you or your property. Why do you want that? Now, there are many, many situations in neighborhoods, and I live in one, where the neighbor is doing something that intrudes on the neighborhood, doing something bad. Maybe they don't tend their yard. Maybe they're loud. Maybe they have bad habits that you don't want your kids to see. All of that is absolutely legitimate. First thing you do is you try to negotiate this with other neighbors who object. You get a little crew together and say, let's go over to Harry's house and we'll bring a snack to Harry as a peace offering, all right? And then we'll discuss this like educated adults. Can you, you know, can we help you help the neighborhood, whatever it may be? Now, if Harry responds with an F you or something like that, cease the conversation, because then you know you got a problem. Then you deal with the problem through the community, the town, the county, whatever it may be. But you got a group behind you, like you and Harry. You don't want that because it might be dirty, Harry, you know? So smart life is try to keep the peace. And there are nuts everywhere. Fortunately, that's the way of the world. Okay? Try to negotiate, but negotiate through strength. Final thought of the day on the No Spin News. So, after you reach the age of 50, if you want to make the latter part of your life constructive, happier, whatever, got to pay attention to your physical health. Under 50, you can run around, you know, pretty much eat what you want, do what you want. I mean, you should stay in shape, of course. I mean, if you're big, chubby and zoftig, you might want to lose a little of that. But after 50, then it gets to be more imperative. So I'm not a health nut. And a few years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, I went to the doctor for my annual, and you guys should be doing that. And I had high blood sugar. And my doctor, who cares about me, says, what are you doing? And I go, you know, I'm eating too much garbage. I know it. So I knocked out 70% of the sugar. Not hard to do. And I don't like those sweetener things either. It's not hard to do. I mean, you can have some desserts. You know, you just got to space them out a little bit. And then there are low sugar things that taste good. You just got to do, you know, and I've recommended a few here. So I knocked the sugar down. That was number one. And then the Terra dog, who has a tendency to put on a little weight, I took her on longer walks. And then the combination, I lost the love handles. I was never a chubby guy, but I lost a lot of the excess. Okay, so I went in last week. I got a colonoscopy, which everybody should get, because catch that kind of thing early, all right? So you should get that. And then I went and got all the blood worked up in it, and it came back that I have like the blood sugar level of Gwyneth Paltrow, who doesn't eat anything but sprouts, all right? So the blood sugar is way down, and I feel 100% better. I work like a pack animal here with radio and television and books. I mean, at my age, working like this, a lot of my friends are zipping around in a golf cart, you know, with Coors Light and hitting a golf ball, and not me. Okay, I'm working here. And in order to do that and be clear-minded and have the energy to do it every day, but Friday, I got to take Fridays off, I got to be in good physical shape, being like an athlete. And I've been an athlete my whole life, so I know what that is. But I don't have time to go to the gym, and I don't have time to lift weights. I mean, so I'm maintaining. But the sugar is the key. I have pasta, and that turns to sugar, by the way. once or twice a week. I have a little ice cream twice a week, maybe. Okay. But I'm conscious of it. So, final thought of the day, proactive in your health. Look, it's luck. Bad things happen to really healthy people. You're never going to be able to control that. But build yourself up to the best possible length that you can. Okay? Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. And we'll see you on Monday. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.